Okay, so it's your turn now. Your phone calls with Richard Lawrence. So he's next on Coast to Coast AM. And Richard, before we take the many phone calls for you, tell me a little bit about channeling.
Well, channeling is something that I was really backing up what you were saying about all the fascinating things that are on this earth. And in researching for this book that I've been working on, I found so much common ground. For example, I went to New Zealand at one time where we have a wonderful branch in Auckland, and I met the Maoris, and I was initiated by a Maori elder, a Tohunga, into some of the rituals that they use. Very much investigated the spiritualist movement in the early 20th century in Great Britain, the Native American Indian tradition, and so on. And they all have come to the same conclusions on certain points, their approach. And so this proves their universal points. And when it comes to channeling, I believe that there has been conscious and unconscious channeling going on through history, that some of the great geniuses of history were actually channeling. On some occasions they knew it, such as William Blake, for example, but sometimes they didn't know it. And this can be from perhaps a more basic spirit guide type of channeling, which is quite an ordinary thing, although it can be quite inspirational if it's done in the right way, all the way through to the most elevated kind of channeling, such as that practiced by Dr. George King, who was a medium for beings from other worlds. But in his case, in fact, he gave a very simple principle behind mediumship many years ago, Dr. King, which I think is quite brilliant, although very obvious when you think about it, once you know it. He said that a medium can bring through an entity who's on the same level as themselves. In other words, the medium has to be able to elevate their consciousness to the level of the communicator. If they can't, no matter how psychic they might be, they wouldn't be able to bring through the most elevated type of communicator. As, for example, in Dr. King's case, he could enter samadhi, the deep yogic state of samadhi, so he could bring through these very advanced intelligences when he was channeling. And I think with that little yardstick, you can discriminate quite easily between some of the claims which are true and some of those which sadly are false. I mean, they can't all be true because some of them contradict each other. And each one of us has to decide what we believe and what we don't believe and what we're not sure about. Just keep an open mind.
So true. Let's go to the phones. Wildcard line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, am I on the air?
You sure are.
Okay, I wanted to ask your guest if Dr. King has ever written about or talked about Godfrey Ray King, who met St. Germain on Mount Shasta in the book The Magic Presence. And I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
Okay.
Hi, do I just reply to that, George?
Yes, you can, Richard.
I've never heard him mention that name. I think it was Geoffrey Rakin before, but he certainly has mentioned Count Saint Germain, whom he actually had contact with himself, and who was a most remarkable, one of the great ascended masters, fascinating ascended master, one who lived not only in France but travelled quite widely, especially in Europe, for hundreds of years, and is well recorded and documented in diaries and notes of the time by everybody from Madame de Pompadour, Louis XV's mistress, to many other accounts of a very, very great master. But there have been many claimed contacts with Count Saint Germain, and certainly I don't believe they're all true. I think one has to, form one's own conclusions, really.
You know, there are some who believe that Mount Shasta is a portal for UFOs, that there's some opening there, and that they fly in and out. Did he ever talk about that?
He certainly talked about Mount Shasta, and it's as a holy place, and it's certainly possible that happened. It's certainly a connection there with ascended masters, and could well be. I'd be completely open-minded about whether that had happened. It certainly would be possible for UFOs to enter a holy mountain, such as the Himalayas, or somewhere where there's a retreat of ascended masters, like Mount Kilimanjaro, Castle Peak in Colorado now. So I'd be very open-minded, but I never personally heard him say that, but he may have done. I don't know.
Did he know, did he ever meet, did he ever talk about Edgar Cayce?
I don't think he met him. He certainly talked about him as a prophet. He didn't go into great depth, but he certainly referred to him as being a prophet, yes.
All right, let's go to our first-time caller line. You are on Coast to Coast. Good morning.
Hello, this is Ken from Redding, California.
Hi, Ken.
Hi. Say, I wanted to ask Richard if he's familiar with the Guardian Alliance, the group of extraterrestrials who are here now aiding us, as depicted in the Voyager series of books by Ashiana Dean.
Hi, Ken.
Hi.
Hi. Yeah, I've heard of it, but I'm not qualified to really talk about it. I haven't investigated it. And there are even some movements that I have looked into a bit. And I have a general policy of not kind of publicly condemning or criticizing other organizations or other claims. I mean, especially ones that I'm not qualified to because I haven't investigated. But even those, there are some that I'm very dubious about. But I wouldn't go on the radio and sort of disparage them myself. I do believe in an open-minded approach. So I can't really help you with that, except save to say that I just believe in keeping an open mind and judging on the merits of every case.
You know, the old saying, Richard, the proof is in the pudding.
Exactly. I mean, what you're looking for, I believe, in a contact with extraterrestrials is some real substance. I remember I came across one once. Somebody told me they'd had messages from extraterrestrials. And I said, what kind of messages are they? And they said, well, they're mainly agricultural. And I said, agricultural? Are you in farming and this medium? She said, well, no. We don't really understand the messages. They're not very useful to us. Well, there's no way, I think, that an extraterrestrial would give a message that wasn't useful. They would have a practical or a profound philosophical or scientific implication that is very useful. And in many cases, I think they would be focused on service somewhere down the line. That theme would come through. And what we can actually do about it, as opposed to just theorizing about it. And then, as I said at the top of this hour, you've got to look at the person who's claiming the contact and judge, if you like, on their merits or otherwise. Is this a person who is qualified? Are they a person who has trained in, for example, yoga practice or metaphysical development sufficiently to be able to channel extraterrestrial intelligences?
Well, let's go now next to our West of the Rockies line. Hi there.
Hi there. How are you doing?
Yes, sir. We're well.
Hi.
Thank you.
Very
good,
well. Thank
good.
You.
I have a question about Lake Tahoe, California.
Yes.
We were camping in Emerald Bay, and we've seen a reddish glow land into the deep water part of Lake Tahoe, and I was wondering if there is any information on USOs in Lake Tahoe, California.
That's fascinating. Fascinating, because Lake Tahoe, correct me if I'm wrong, is very close to Mount Talak.
Mm-hmm.
Is it not? And I do, well, Mount Talak is one of the mountains that I mentioned earlier that we believe is a holy mountain that's been charged by extraterrestrial
wow.
intelligences. The best thing, though, because I'm not an American citizen and not very good on the geography, would be to contact, you can contact our free phone number, actually, which is 1-800-800-1354. There'll be people there, I'm sure, who've been there. But certainly it sounds fascinating, and it could be, I would say, a very, very significant place indeed to have had a UFO sighting.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you for calling.
Next up, East of the Rockies, your turn. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Hi, my name is Steve, and I'm in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Hi, Steve.
And I got two questions, and one of them was about 23 years ago, I heard that satellite, seen a planet on the opposite side of the sun rotate just like we are, so we didn't know it was there. And then I never heard anything again ever about it, and I want to know if you guys knew anything about that. And another thing that I wanted to ask you was that I've heard on Talk Show Today and then yours today that they did discover a planet, and is that the same one or is that something different or what, because nobody else is talking about it.
Hi, Steve.
Hi.
Yes, it's very interesting questions you've asked there. In the Aetherius Society, we do believe that there is another planet which could be described as being inside the solar system, although Dr. King has said in a way it could be outside the solar system. And there have been comments about its orbit and it being on the other side of the sun. I'm not exactly sure what that means, though, myself, personally. But certainly another planet. Now, this one that was discovered that you referred to, we touched on it earlier in the program, I believe is 20 light years away, which in astronomical terms is very, very close, of course. So I imagine that would be described as being outside the solar system. So I can't say for sure whether I would say it probably isn't. I think it's orbiting a red dwarf, I believe. But certainly there is another planet. We don't know exactly where it is. Things are being discovered all the time. It could be in some kind of elliptical orbit. I don't really know. But there's another planet we believe that will be inhabited by people from this world who don't choose to go into the new age I refer to, who don't make the changes and continue their evolution in another way. And that I can't give you anything more precise than that, I'm afraid, except that it does exist. Whether it's been discovered, there's been so much talk about a planet X in this solar system, so many theories.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's yet to be fully revealed, I really think.
Where could I find more information about this planet?
Well, you can certainly, the purpose of this planet and so forth, you'll find through the Aetherius Society. In terms of the details, do you mean more information about the one that was discovered yesterday?
Yeah, that one and the other one, yeah.
Well, that one, I suppose, would be through a news agency. It was a European group of astronomers, and they had a telescope, I think, in Chile, which identified it. I'm sure through the web it could be tracked
out. It's 20 light years away. You can just Google search planet or go to space.com, Steve. You'll get a lot of information on it there.
In the book that George mentioned, Contacts with the Gods from Space, which I was privileged to co-author with Dr. King, we do explain thoroughly the reasons for this new planet, why some human beings will go there to continue their evolution, what will happen in the new age, if you like, the whole philosophical aspect and what's going to happen to the future of the human race is fully explained in that book, but not the astronomical details of where the planet is, because I don't think that's fully known yet.
Okay, let's go to our first-time caller line. Hello there, you're on Coast to Coast.
Hello, I'm Elaine from Pennsylvania, and I just have to ask your caller if he's familiar with a seer from Bayside, New York, Veronica Lukin. She had been receiving messages from the Virgin Mary, and in one of the messages, she addressed the phenomenon of UFOs, and the Virgin Mary stated that they are transports from hell. Have you ever heard anything about that?
Hi, Elaine. I haven't. There are so many claims out there, and you know, this comes back to what we're talking about with channeling. It's an area where you need to be a real expert, to be honest. You need to be very, very careful, very discriminating. I've done some basic channeling myself, nothing elevated such as, I mean, light years away from, say, what Dr. King has done. But I am familiar with the fact that one can easily make mistakes. One can get a contact with someone. One thinks it's a great being. It may not be a great being. Obviously, I don't believe UFOs are transports from hell. So that, for me, that would be quite a discriminating factor in looking at this particular claimed contact. As I said earlier, I don't like to go out and deride people's claims at all. But there are a whole range of people. There are people nowadays, and I'm sure it must be true in the States as well as Europe, who are out there teaching people to channel, who are just saying, you can contact whichever being you like. Do you want to contact the Angel Gabriel? Do you want to contact Count Saint Germain? You name it, we'll teach you to do it in a three-hour seminar, something like that. And it's highly irresponsible. It can be very dangerous, actually, to be doing that. One needs to be very grounded and very discriminating. And I don't want to sound like a know-it-all, because I have very, very much to learn myself. But I just think one has to be careful with some of the claims that are being made. Even though the people making them, by and large, I'm sure believe it themselves, doesn't make it true. Just examine the content. Look at the message. Is it a spiritual message? Like in the Aetherius Society, I would invite you to do the same. I wouldn't say take my word for it. Look at the messages. You can get CDs with messages on them. We have one, for example, Meditation for This Age. a wonderful message. And I know there's some offers up on our website at the moment, so people can familiarize themselves with these things and then form your own conclusions. But I'd be very careful of someone who just says, well, I was doing some psychic work and then I was suddenly contacted by such and such a great being. They'd have to be someone of quite significant caliber to channel the Virgin Mary, for example.
How important has the work of Dr. George King been on your life, Richard?
Absolutely transforming, completely liberating, in two ways, really. One, and the most important one, I suppose, is showing me what an ordinary person such as myself can do, what a difference an ordinary person can make in the whole world, you know, because one does feel so helpless. And the most stressful feeling anyone can have, according to research, is this feeling of helplessness. And, you know, when you see the wars and the pointless suffering and the all the things that are the dangers that threaten us from the Middle East and elsewhere, you can feel very helpless, but it's completely liberating to be given a way of actually making a difference. And anybody can do that through things like the 12 blessings. So that's the first thing. And the second thing, of course, is the enlightenment that I received thanks to Dr. King, not that I'm enlightened, but the enlightening teachings that I received, which have just been transforming in my own personal development.
Let's go to our wild card call before the break. You're on the air. Hi.
Hi. My name is Linda. I'm calling from Southern Illinois. And a couple of things. First of all, I'm sitting here looking at the exact symbol I've got done in stained glass, which I believe is the Ohm symbol that your society uses. Mm-hmm. But my basic question is this. I also work with radionics. Yeah. I have a Copen Laboratory PR2. There is a dial on there, and I've never been able to get any information really from Copen about it. I also have multiple broadcasters, and they just say that these higher, I believe it's an F1, I haven't used it for 6 years to tell you the truth, is for higher spiritual frequencies. Mm-hmm. Is this what we're talking about?
I don't know the manufacturer you mentioned, but the question is, was it Linda?
Mm-hmm, sure.
Linda. The question, Linda, would be, when you did use it 6 years ago, did it have an effect? Did you feel a difference in your life when you used it?
As far as radionics and what I broadcast was for healing, I did not play with the higher frequencies, and it would state in the book it's used for higher spiritual frequencies. Something new to this machine, and I did get the machines, of course, from England. They're not made in the United States.
I see. Well, it would all be really, to answer your question, about the source, because apparatus, while being a marvelous thing and essential to certain kinds of work, is only a channel, really, for the energies that come from a source. So these higher frequency energies you're referring to would have to be radiated from somewhere. The machine can only transmit them. And so that would really be the acid test. I wouldn't be frightened of them or wary of them, but I would have thought that the source would have to be some elevated spiritual source. It wouldn't just be generated purely by the machine.
Stay with us. We'll be back with final phone calls for Richard Lawrence in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Well, on our next Coast to Coast program, our guest will be none other than the father of modern-day ufology, Stanton Friedman. You know, he was one of my very first radio interviews back in 1971. He's still going strong. I wish I were going the way he was going, to tell you the truth. Stanton Friedman, our guest on our next Coast to Coast show. And welcome back with our dear friend, Richard Lawrence, and the rest of your phone calls. Richard, this night has flown by, my friend.
I can't thank you enough for inviting me back, George. It's been a real pleasure for me. And a real privilege to talk to the people of America and around the world.
Do you get to Los Angeles very often?
I do from time to time, actually. I've certainly spent a lot of my time there over the years. But if I do, I'd love to meet you.
Yeah,
George.
Do me a favor. Let me know. Give me a little head start. And when I know you're going to be there, I'll make sure I'm there. You know, I'm in L.A. quite a bit. and I go between that and St. Louis. But definitely, I'd like to meet you and have that tour of the Aetherius Society.
Yeah, and even without me, I'm sure they'd make you very, very welcome in Hollywood. But I'd love to meet you. And likewise, if you're ever in town, over in London or in the UK, please let me know.
I'd love to do that. I may sneak my cell phone camera into the Aetherius Society and try
to get
pictures of this.
You'll be our guest. We would love to welcome you.
Let's go to the phones this last half hour. Wildcard Line, you're up with us. Hi there.
Tampa Mark here.
Mark,
evening,
go
gentlemen.
For it.
Richard.
Good evening.
Did I hear you say correctly that one of the two previous civilizations, a gold chain was carbon dated to 100,000 years, something like that?
Well, I was referring to some of the archaeological find. Is it Mark?
Yes, sir.
Oh, Mark, hi. Yeah, some of the archaeological findings that people have come up with, and one was a gold chain. I haven't got the locations in front of me. I've got quite a bit of... There's a lot of research, and I think George has covered this on the station before, but people have found this particular gold chain was clearly crafted, and it's been carbon dated at being over 1 million years old. So, indicating that there are previous civilizations.
Okay, well, that being the case, I was wondering how you carbon date gold, because gold is a metal. Carbon, of course, is an entirely different element.
I'm no expert on this. I'd have to get my sources. That the substance that it came out of, which I think was coal,
right.
was carbon dated.
Okay, not the gold. You're right. You can't carbon date gold, but the coal.
Corrected me there. But it was where it was found, and it hadn't been moved, and so on.
Okay, so the substance.
But I can put you in touch if you want the details. I mean, I can give you more on that through. Anyone can contact me if they have questions through my website, and I'll give you proper research on it.
Hey, you got it. I can find you. I'll look it up. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
All right, next up, East of the Rockies, your turn. You're on with Richard Lawrence on Coast to Coast.
Hi, I'm Julianne, living in Colorado Springs.
Hi.
And I'm 23, calling about, I just want to know if you've ever heard of star children or indigo children.
I've heard about them, yes. What did you want to say?
I want to know if you, know what they are. Well, I talked to a clairvoyant, a couple of them, and they were telling me that I was one, and I just want to know exactly what that is.
You know, I so many people use these phrases in different ways, and I haven't made a study of it, and as I said earlier, I don't make a point in commenting on other claims. But my broad belief is they are supposed to be a very advanced children. I think probably some people would say they're not even of this world. Is that what you've been led to believe?
Kind of. Actually also listened in before on one of George Noy's shows about...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I tuned in at the moment it was being mentioned, and, yeah. I just thought maybe you guys would have something to say.
Yeah.
Also, the same... they both have told me interesting things about UFOs and extraterrestrial beings. One was saying that there's this, energy in Hawaii or around the Pacific Ocean,
mm-hmm.
that the UFO, protect, and that she was also saying that there would be some bad aliens. I don't want to say bad aliens, but that they were here protecting the world and protecting us humans. Against, anything bad or negative.
Well, yes, absolutely, would agree on that. And I think in terms of yourself, obviously, you're 23, like me, when I was a student at university and so on, I was really in pursuit of the truth. And I think that's a hallmark of someone who's perhaps, had some experiences in past lives, is how I would put it. Someone who really wants to find the truth and is willing to accept the truth, regardless of convention and how different it is from what the dogmas were taught, and a real broad-minded person who will look into the truth is a hallmark of someone who's had some experience in past lives. I wouldn't necessarily say that, though, that would make them from another planet or anything like that at all, but certainly you're obviously on a quest, and this person who told you about the benign intelligences protecting us from hostile ones, I would completely agree with, because if we weren't protected, you know, it wouldn't be some sort of George Bush going up in an airplane to defend us, as per the film Independence Day or something. We just simply wouldn't stand a chance. And we've been incredibly protected and still are being protected by mainly the beings from within this solar system who live on higher levels or spheres or frequencies, if you like, of existence.
Richard, if you could have one question answered on just about anything that you've desired here, one question, what would that question be?
Gosh, that's an amazing question. You know, I've had so many of my questions answered. Obviously, I think the big thing that we're all trying to do in this world, for ourselves personally, if we're talking about for ourselves personally, is to overcome the need of rebirth, if you like. And this is one of the great mysteries of all Eastern traditions, to try and find a thing called ascension, which was demonstrated by Jesus. It was a demonstration of something which others had also demonstrated in a less famous way through his resurrection. So I suppose it would be, for me personally, a key to attaining that as quickly as possible. But having said that, I have been given something more important, which is the path in these days of service to others, and that's the best and most effective way to go. So I think it would be, I think that my biggest dream really would be to be given a way to enter into direct cooperation and come into the personal presence of the ascended masters, those who have overcome the cycle of rebirth.
I would ask, what was the universe prior to the Big Bang? Truly, what was it?
Right.
And I wonder if I'd ever get that answer. I'm not sure if physicists can ever give me that answer.
No, you know, there is this, because the Big Bang theory is very close to the Hindu concept of the outbreathing and the inbreathing. You know, that God breathed out and creation manifested and breathed in, mm-hmm. and we return. And there's this idea of the expansion of the universe and then the, you know, retraction of the universe. But they always said, though, that the big question as to why did God do this cannot be fully answered, or even if the answer was given, it wouldn't be understood. Because the whole purpose of life is to gain experience, master experience, and then return back to the source from which we came, which is, as you say, prior to the Big Bang, which they would say was the divine source. But as to why, that question, they said, can only be answered really fully by doing it. You know, the answer will dawn, or when one's in a far more enlightened stage than we are on this human race. And I think that's the problem with some of these questions. It's all down, one could give an answer or get an answer, but what would it mean to us if we didn't have sufficient enlightenment to understand it?
Well said. First-time caller, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello. Hi.
Go ahead, please.
Yeah. I just wanted to ask Richard if he was familiar with any of the Virgin Mary apparitions throughout history, and right now, currently, the one in Medjugorje, Bosnia.
I actually have heard of that. I you know, and I'm aware there have been numerous visions of the Virgin Mary, particularly, for example, I remember we were engaged at one time. There was an earthquake in New Mexico, in Mexico, and we sent energy there, and many had visions of the Virgin Mary when houses were falling down around them and they weren't killed and so on. I do believe that's a very interesting question, that visions, spiritual visions, are very much connected with your own belief system. Mm-hmm. So people who are perhaps from the Catholic faith would be more inclined to have visions of the Virgin Mary, as one would expect. Somebody from perhaps a more Hindu faith or a yogic Tibetan faith or something like that might see a Dakini or some other kind of manifestations connected with that tradition, because it's in their group soul, it's in their group consciousness. And I do believe, by the way, sorry, I'm not trying to get away from your question, that there are those who've had contacts with what they believe to be even Jesus, which may actually not be Jesus. It might just be a higher guide guiding them, but they perceive it that way. But I think some of the phenomena around the Virgin Mary has to do with thought forms which, you know, thoughts are things. And if people are thinking about visualizing and praying to the Virgin Mary enough in a particular region, that can manifest as a vision. And that may have happened even in somewhere like the Bosnia one you talked about.
Yeah, right now there's millions of people from various faiths just going to this site, and they
right.
just receive physical and spiritual healing,
mm-hmm.
and it's immense. It's just really miraculous, and I just wanted to know if you knew about it.
It's fascinating.
Yeah.
I mean, it just shows the wonder. I remember not long ago there was some things associated with the Hindu god of Ganesha. You may remember, and there were these statues. It's a god with an elephant trunk, and milk was coming out of it, physical milk. And, you know, the more, actually, one people think about it en masse, you say there are millions, the more it's liable to manifest, because that thought must manifest sooner or later.
Great. Let's go to East of the Rockies. You're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello. How are you?
We are
very
well.
Very well. How are you?
I'm doing great. This
Good.
Is Terry, and I live in Texas.
Hi.
And I was wanting to know, I have spent most of my life trying to help people.
Wonderful.
You know, oh, well, I've been in nursing. I've spent time taking care of medically fragile children and,
uh-huh.
you know, just different things like that, and
yeah.
taking care of family. But I have found that the more you try and do things for people, the nastier they get towards you. And
that's interesting.
And I have found that what I was wanting to know is, you know, you were stating that the way to enlightenment and to be in touch with these beings is through helping people,
mm.
you know, but it makes it very difficult to help people when you, the more you try, the meaner and the nastier they get towards you.
It's a very interesting question, Terry, and, you know, I'm sorry you've had that experience. I don't think that's always the case. But, you know, I found one thing, as I've mentioned, I'm very interested in is karma, and I wanted a book called The Little Book of Karma. And one thing I found from doing some radio broadcasts in the UK, I was doing a four-hour one in a northern city called Manchester, and there was somebody listening to that, unbeknown to me, who decided to take their own life. They had the pills on the shelf, and they decided to switch the radio on one last time. And we were the interviewer and myself were discussing karma and the fact that sometimes sympathy is not the most valuable thing to give a person. Sometimes what they need to do is to see what benefit they can get from life's lessons and what life is trying to teach them, no matter how hard. See some good purpose in what they're going through, and then they can get through anything. And this woman listening said that she saw a ray of light come into her room. She threw the pills away. She decided to live. Now, I mention that because sometimes one can, you know, give people too much. You know, they need not so much sympathy. They need to learn something. You can go so far in helping people. Sometimes you can help them more by, you know, enabling them to stand on their own two feet. It's a very difficult balance. But what I can assure you, though, Terry, that is that what goes around does come around. And even though it may not appear to sometimes in the short term, if you do good for others and genuinely do good for others and you really help them without letting them lean upon you, then, you know, that will help you in the long run. And it will give you a more positive karma. So, indeed, you can do more for others. And that's the motive. The motive isn't to get good karma. The motive has got to be to help others to get on in life and improve their lot. And if they're ungrateful, which people can be, well, I'm very sorry that can happen too.
Let's go west of the Rockies. You're up. Thanks for holding.
Yeah, I was noticing that he was speaking of Dr. King receiving messages and instructions from friendly entities. And he had also spoken of the hostiles. And a lot of it sounded really similar to what Heidi Hollis talks about. And I was wondering if he was
yes.
familiar with her and if he happens to think that she's one of those individuals also.
I have to apologize here because, again, I don't know the person you're referring to. I know there's a lot of claims out there. And most of the ones I come across, of course, being in Europe, are over there. But I know I'm very open-minded, and where there's common ground between different claimants, well, let's all, you know, join together on that common ground. And, You know, even if we don't agree on every detail, there's some of the broad principles we agree on, and it's good to hear. It's very good to hear that other people are putting out a similar message.
Let's get one last question in. First-time caller line. Go ahead, please.
Hey, guys. Thanks, George. Hey, Richard. I'm driving from Los Angeles to Las Vegas, and you guys were talking about the different mountains, and then you mentioned Mount Baldy, and I look up, and there's an exit from Mount Baldy. So it was really weird. So I drove
Was it
there.
A sign that you saw, a physical sign?
Yeah.
What's that?
Was it a physical sign that you saw?
Yeah. It's actually the turnoff to go to Mount Baldy.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Synchronicity, because I mentioned a story that happened to me years ago at the beginning of the program, is a very interesting thing. And, you know, I don't believe anything happens by chance. So maybe it wasn't just a physical sign. Maybe it was a bit more than that for you.
Well, I actually went up there. I just got down off the mountain, and I want to thank you, man, because that was...
Really?
I didn't really know where to go, and I didn't really, you know, but got up there and I got out of my car. I sat on the mountain for a little bit and meditated.
Did you feel any energy out there, Kevin?
Well, yeah, I kind of did. I was sitting there and all of a sudden I was like, got into the meditation, like, you know, the different levels. And all of a sudden a bunch of coyotes started to howl, which is, I don't know, I just took that as a sign. You know, it was like these dogs were howling at me. And I said,
well, you're certainly a man of action.
What's that?
You're certainly a man of action, and I admire that, Kevin. You know, you've tested it out straight away. I can't ask for more than that. You know, if everybody listening sort of looks into what I've said and actually tries it out in their life like you've done tonight, then as far as I'm concerned, that's absolutely marvelous.
Richard, my friend, we're out of time. I want to thank you for spending really a very enlightening night with us tonight.
Well, George, it's been a real pleasure for me, and I do love chatting to you, and thank you for inviting me again.
Absolutely. For Dan Galante, Steve Carr, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasur, Ross Mitchell, Alan Corbett, Stephanie Smith, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, we'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.